When a king was going to visit the city, he would send before him someone to herald his coming, someone to announce that he would be arriving soon. The herald would go around the city and go before the leaders of the city, telling them the king is coming. He'll be here any day. This herald also served as a city inspector. He would go around the city and make a list of things that needed to be fixed. He would tell them, clean up your city, sweep your streets, get rid of the garbage lying around, round up any criminals to make the city safe, fix the roads, make them smooth and straight, make sure the town is gleaming, make sure the city is fit for a king to ride through. It was an embarrassment for that city and the people of that city if they were not prepared when the king did arrive. It was also an insult to the king if they had not prepared properly for his arrival. If he came and they were not prepared, he might mete out some judgment and punishment upon the city and its rulers. As we look at this morning's gospel lesson, this is exactly what we see going on. The king is coming, and he has sent a herald to announce his imminent arrival. The king, of course, is Jesus Christ. The Gospel of Matthew brings this out very clearly, but we've also seen that Christ is king in the first two chapters of Luke. The angel told Mary in the first chapter of Luke's Gospel that her son would sit on the throne of his father David, and he would reign over Israel forever. And of his kingdom, there would be no end. Zechariah's prophecy about Christ later in that same chapter said much the same thing. And when Jesus was born, the angels came and trumpeted his birth and gave him a kingly welcome. And his herald, the one who will pronounce his coming, is John the Baptist. John has come as a herald to make sure that the king's subjects are well prepared for the king's coming. But John himself has not come to prepare the way. He's come that we might prepare. John's message is that people need to repair their lives and prepare for Christ's coming. He does this by calling the people to repentance and baptism. And then Luke quotes from Isaiah's prophecy from 400 years earlier. In this quotation, there are two imperatives, two commands. Prepare the way of the Lord and make his paths straight. But the voice of the prophecy changes immediately after that from a command to a promise. Who will actually make his paths straight? The prophecy moves from an imperative to an indicative. Every valley shall be filled up, and every mountain shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, the rough ways made smooth. This quotation from Isaiah's prophecy is indicating that the Lord himself is coming to bring salvation for his people. John comes onto the scene in the nation's history right on time. Luke, writing from a historical perspective, provides a very detailed time frame for the events he is about to unfold. We see that God's timing for this message was perfect. Luke includes the names and positions of the political and religious leaders to show just how far Israel had fallen. Politically, the Jews are ruled by foreigners, and religiously, Annas and Caiaphas had been illegally put into their positions of religious leadership by the Roman authorities. And they constantly use their power to line their own pockets and to increase their own authority. Annas was even sometimes called a viper who hissed or whispered in the ears of judges and politicians in order to influence their decisions. The Jews longed for a new word from God. The political and religious condition of Israel was so fallen, so corrupt, it was clearly time for the Messiah to be revealed. But before the Messiah is fully revealed, a prophet must rise and call the people back to God. And that is exactly what happens. With distinctly Old Testament terminology, we are introduced to the last of the Old Testament prophets. We read that the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. John was born to Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah was told by an angel of the Lord that his son John would be a prophet in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And now, some 30 years later, this promise is coming true. John is living in the wilderness, and the word of the Lord comes to him. Though we have just heard of one emperor, one governor, three tetrarchs, and two religious high priests, quite a list of people who are important and prestigious in the eyes of the world, the word of God does not come to them. It comes to a relatively unknown man living in the wilderness. So do not feel like you have to be somebody well-known and of great influence to be used by God. God uses you and me, not the prominent or popular. That is what we see here with John. He was in the wilderness, and the word of God came to him. So does this mean that you must go out into the wilderness to hear from God to prepare for Christ's coming? Well, to be sure, the wilderness is a place of quiet solitude, but also a place away from the safety of the city walls, a place of vulnerability. And in those quiet places, in those vulnerable moments, in retreat, God often speaks. But while it is true that John did live in the wilderness, it is not because he lived in the wilderness that he received the word of God. It's not because he ate locust and honey and wore camel hair either. John heard from God and became his herald because he was called to live a life distinct from the world. This may seem easy for John because he already lived in the wilderness, away from all the temptations and trials of living among people. But location is not the same thing as habits. Being distinct from the world means that you fill your life with things that matter to God's kingdom, that matter to the coming king. While the world seeks greatness, whether national or individual, or power or bigness or boldness, ours is a different calling. One minister who has had an impact on my journey says that the Christian life begins not with high deeds and accomplishments, but with the most simple and ordinary act of humble asking. Then life and joy grow in us over years through commonplace, almost boring practices. Daily obedience, reading and prayer, worship attendance, being generous with our resources, serving our brothers and sisters in Christ and our neighbors, depending upon Jesus in times of suffering. And bit by bit, our faith will grow. In other words, valleys will be filled up and mountains made low. The crooked and rough paths will be made straight and smooth. The foundation of our lives will come closer to that deep river of joy that flows from the throne of our King, who is now on his way. Amen.
Since departed this life in thy faith and fear, especially Sam, John, Zona, Elizabeth, and Jack, beseeching thee to grant them continual growth in thy love and service, and to grant us grace so to follow the good examples of the ever-blessed Virgin Mary, blessed Michael and all angels, blessed George, and of all thy saints, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant these our prayers, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate. Amen.
Let us humbly confess our sins unto Almighty God. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us. The burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honor and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all those who with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the word of God. To all who truly turn to him, come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to the end, that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is a true saying and worthy of all men to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the perfect offering for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us exchange God's peace.